Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord and Savior has been teaching you that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That has been a verse that you have heard repeatedly over the past 2 years in confirmation class. You have also learned that obeying what he commands, that is obeying his word, is fruit of the gift of faith that you were given in baptism. And submitting to his holy word of truth is spirit-wrought obedience of faith. Now, such obedience proceeds from or is a result of saving faith in Christ. Obedience and love of Christ are produced then by the Spirit within you because you have been saved by grace through faith. In our gospel lesson appointed for today, our Lord is praying for his disciples of all times, declaring, I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. He's praying for you. Now, the word that he has given is the word that you have been studying these past 2 years, but the truth is, you've only studied the basics of the Christian faith. And a foundation of understanding, if you will, has been provided. That's all that's been established. So what will take place from this point forward by his Spirit working through his means of grace will be a lifelong instruction. This is not a graduation. In reality, confirmation, or the rite of confirmation, is simply an acknowledgement of one aspect, basically, and that is acknowledging the blessings and benefits that Christ bestowed upon you in your baptism. It has also instructed you to know where to look now, where to come to be, so that the gift of faith that you have received will be sustained. And that is through his means of grace, through his word and the sacrament of the altar. This means that you must be in his presence, that you must be studying his word and receiving his sacrament to continue to broaden your understanding of and be strengthened in the blessings that he has bestowed upon you in baptism. Fail to continue to come into his presence, fail to continue studying his unchanging word of truth, and you risk severing yourself from the only true vine which sustains. What happens to limbs and branches that are separated or removed from a vine or a tree? They wither and die. That is, if they are not reattached or grafted and then nurtured and sustained. Remove yourself from Christ's presence and you risk removing yourself from the very means of grace that he has given to strengthen and sustain your faith. Fellow redeemed, such temptation is one of the reasons why the Lord is praying in our text for those he has brought to faith. He's praying for you. And what did you hear in the epistle lesson? Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. Now, if you recall, over the past few weeks, the Lord has been addressing the topic of suffering and persecution, including those who suffer for righteousness' sake, that is, for remaining steadfast, faithfully confessing Christ in the face of opposition and living the life of faith and doing good according to his word. Fellow redeemed, there is a spiritual battle raging around you, and Satan is always trying to lead you away from Christ, tempting you to feed upon all sorts of false teachings, to think that you don't need Christ, or the wonderful blessings and benefits that he really and truly brings to you in his holy house by word and sacrament. Now, while you may think you have learned all you need to know about the one true faith, since you have completed confirmation, I'm here to tell you that your study of Christian doctrine has only just begun. But that's a good thing. But the same can be said for suffering for the faith. That too has only just begun in your life. And this is why, or one of the reasons why, Jesus is praying for his disciples. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified in you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. When God the Son prays to be glorified, he's not praying according to the world's ideas of glory. You see, the world defines glory in terms of majesty, fame, strength, beauty, health, wealth, and prosperity, and notoriety. The one who reaches the top is the one who is to be celebrated. But our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, defines glory quite differently. You see, God the Father has given the Son all authority over creation. And all of creation is his responsibility. And the gem of his creation, man, is the focus. Now, chronologically speaking, our gospel lesson, we see the Son preparing to serve the gem of all creation by offering himself as the sacrifice necessary to pay for the sins of the world by his crucifixion, so that all who believe in him might have eternal life. That's the glory the Lord is praying for, to serve all according to his Father's will. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Christ Jesus has perfectly lived that life that you could not. He has fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies by his teaching, his miracles, and his work to credit all who believe in him with his righteousness. That's what faith receives. And his prayer continues, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. So he has given his disciples a precious gift, faith in him and his name. It is he who has placed his name upon them and made them his own, just as he did with you in the waters of baptism. And with his name, he lovingly encourages you to call upon him in every time of trouble. Yes, to pray praise and give thanks in all circumstances, good or bad, acknowledging that he is the giver of all good gifts. And that is part of your sanctified life in this fallen world. Now, he knows that you will be exposed to all sorts of false gods and religions which Satan will use to tempt you, to confuse you, to lead you to abandon the faith. There will be situations in life, and the devil will use them to make it seem as if God has abandoned you, that you're fighting all alone. But the Lord, by his unchanging word of truth, reminds you that he has given you his name, that he has given you the precious gift of faith, and that because you have such blessings, you have the honor and privilege of praying to the one true God and knowing that he hears you for his Son's sake and will answer for your good according to his perfect will. But not only do you have the Lord's name to call upon, he has also given you his word, which endures forever. It is he who has painstakingly taught you his law, that you might clearly know what is pleasing to the Father, but also to know when you have departed from the path that he has prepared for you. In other words, to have your sins revealed and to reveal your true need. And he has patiently taught you the gospel truth that by his life, death, and resurrection, he has redeemed the world and bestows his grace and mercy upon those he has brought to faith. Now, while you may not fully understand the significance of all his word, it is still his unchanging, powerful word, whether you fully understand it or not. And he has given you another gift as well. At his word, to the name, to water, there is baptism, to cleanse spiritually dead sinners, giving them new and eternal life. Speak his word and name, and there is holy absolution. sinners are forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At His word, the visible elements of bread and wine and the Word made flesh is truly present for the forgiveness of sins. But the Lord also prays, Holy Father, keep them in Your name, which You have given Me, that they may be one even as We are one. This is where true unity is found, among humble, penitent Christians who believe and faithfully submit to the Holy Word and to call upon His name. They are not just united on behalf of Christ, they are united in Him, for He is forever with them. Now next Sunday we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And let me ask you, after Pentecost, what happened? Vested with the Holy Spirit, wherever the disciples went in the world, they shared that which God had given them. They shared His Word in all its truth and purity. And they administered the sacraments according to Christ's institution. And through them, through those means of grace, by the Holy Spirit working through them, the Lord continues to make disciples of all nations. That's how the Lord makes disciples, and in no other way. And in a hostile, sin-filled world, He sends them out with the only divine truth which saves. And when His redeemed are troubled and persecuted, they have God's very name to call upon for help, serving wherever God sends and according to the callings and vocations that He Himself has bestowed. In the creeds of Christendom, we confess, I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. The church is holy because the sacrifice to make her holy has been rendered by Christ upon the cross, and her sins have been paid for. And the church is apostolic because in a very real way, we live just as the apostles did. We continue in Jesus' word and in His name, living according to His commands and confessing and repenting of our sins and failures to do so. And we rejoice in and give hearty and humble thanks for the forgiveness that He announces to us in His gospel. And forgiven, we faithfully continue in His name as His holy people who call upon Him in time of trouble, praying, praising, and giving thanks. And as long as we continue in His word and in His name, we are His holy Christian and apostolic church. This is the life of the Christian. To live where God has placed you, to attend to the tasks that He has given you, coming into His presence to be strengthened, forgiven, and equipped with His word and His name. And where His word is taught in all truth and purity, and sacraments administered according to His institution, He is really and truly present, whether you feel Him or not. Because the word that endures forever declares it to be so. Thanks be to God, Jesus dwells with us with the forgiveness His blood atones for. Now, in some respects, the Christian life is a simple one. But while it is a simple one, it's far from easy. In a few minutes, I will be asking you some questions, and you will be answering before me, the congregation, your brothers and sisters in Christ, but more importantly, the Holy Trinity. Go ahead and turn to page 272 in your hymnal. 272. The devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh daily work against the new life in Christ that you have been called to as one of the Lord's redeemed. And those attacks will begin in earnest because of the confession that you will be making shortly. You see, after you verbally renounce the devil, his works, and all his ways, he is going to redouble his attacks against you. Where you confess your belief in the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He will use the world to bombard you with everything it can to tempt you to renounce your faith, to deny there is one divine truth, to turn your back on the means of grace that the Lord lovingly bestows upon you. And in our day and age, there is a special significance to the answer that you will give to the question, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Your answer is, I do, by the grace of God. A Christian genocide is happening the world over at the hands of Islamists, atheists, and radical secularists. And the majority of the world remains silent and is permitting such atrocities to continue. Thus, I can promise you today that you will face a higher probability of being persecuted and ridiculed for your faith, even here in America. And once you graduate from high school, if you decide to go to university, I can promise you with certainty, you will face persecution for your faith. But understand who it is that you are battling against. The devil. You have many individuals who are ignorant of the faith. And they are duped by the devil to attack you, thinking that they indeed are doing the world a favor. It may be human flesh that seems to cause trial and tribulation, but in reality, it is the devil. And because it is a spiritual enemy that you face, we are not able to employ earthly tools, if you will, to fight back, to defend ourselves. We must use spiritual tools and armaments. And this is why the Lord vests you with the very means to defend yourself and others. And those means, those spiritual means, are word and sacrament. Remember Jesus' words to his disciples. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And from our epistle, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice. That is, rejoice in suffering. Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you were insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Sadly, the devil, increasing his efforts to attack you, is soon going to tempt you to think that coming to church Sunday in and Sunday out isn't important. That time with your friends, your job, or simply sleeping in, or material things of this world are more important than coming to the Lord's house, where He invites you to receive from His word and sacraments His grace and mercy. Think back to all the confirmands that you have seen seated right where you're at. There are far too many who have already fallen prey to such temptations. But for now, you're here because His truth is still fresh in your mind, and the voice of the true vine reminds you that He is here to bless and strengthen you in a very special way that doesn't happen anywhere else. Now, there may be another reason you're here.
And that it's because of the individuals that are seated behind you. Maybe it's because of your parents that you're here, or your extended family. But thanks be to God, you are here. And thanks be to God, you know the truth of who it is whose presence you are in. It is He who showers you with His grace and love, and is He who draws you here by His Spirit, calling you by word and announcing that your sins are forgiven. It is He who has engrafted you into the true vine. And when you've been made a part of the true vine, receiving the blessed gifts of forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and salvation, you've been removed from being of the world. You're in it, to be sure. And He has warned you and prepared you of the battle that surrounds you in this world. But you are not of it. And it is comforting to know that our Lord continues taking lowly sinners like you and me and lifting us up from the pit of the muck and mire of our sins and forgives us. And indeed seats us as His honored guests at His banquet. In this day, He invites you, Gabe, Christina, and Paige, to be His honored guests and to receive His holy sacrament. It is His church, and He is the one who both creates and sustains His gift of faith, and it is He who has appointed His means of grace to accomplish that. And Jesus desires that you thankfully and frequently receive His word and to gladly hear and learn it, to continue learning it, that you would hear Him and call upon His name and rejoice in the forgiveness that He has won for you, giving thanks that He has united you with the rest of the Christian church, the Una Sancta, that you would then go about your daily tasks and vocation in service to others. Now, it may not seem glorious now, but the Lord says otherwise, and that glory will be revealed on the last day. And until then, fellow redeemed, remember that the Lord prays for you. And know that because He does pray for you and intercedes for you, you are forgiven of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.